Okay, the next order of business is old business, and the first item in old business is budget. I know, and I apologize for not having a lot of copies, not having any copies for this, and I emailed out this to the board members, and how I set up this budget this year, and is that I put things in two categories. On income, I had ordinary income, that's expected income in the first column, and questionable income in the second column, and I'll go over those categories. On number one, which was assessment, our expected income is $125,860. And how I came at that is 290 times 434. Okay, because we have parcels that are owned by the membership, and then we have parcels that are...
Did you update that one? That's 434.
This is my updated one.
Okay. So you
might,
I don't have
you. You might make that change.
At least it's somewhere.
Yeah.
So I went with 290 instead of 300 because I figured there are parcels that are, you know, not in the membership pool. And then there's parcels that the members own as lot owners or association owners.
Okay.
And then as far as expected income, I expect that the wildlife confidant funds for the hunt for the tax of $5,000. So that gave us an expected income of $130,860. Okay. What I call questionable income are past due assessments at approximately $12,000, building and facilities rent at $2,000, cabin reservation fees at $3,000, cabin rental at $5,000, cleaning fees for $500, and store sales at $2,000, cookouts at $2,000, interest income, late fees, approximately $1,000, tractor and equipment rental, $2,000, sale of hay at $5,000, and miscellaneous donations at $2,000. Now, all those categories that I just listed there would be considered questionable income. So that's just how I divided it. Okay.
Well, I just as we're going through this, do we have $5,000 of hay to sell?
No.
No. I mean the sales of the
we're paying for the hay.
Yeah.
And we owe like $3,000 for hay. Well, a little less than that.
Brayden?
Yes.
Well, that's what I'm just saying is we're just trying to sell the hay that the ranch has bought.
Right. They bought, I think it was $4,300 for
the
hay.
Okay, let's change that then. Okay, so we used about $1,000 of that hay for when the cattle were here, correct?
We have it all written down exactly how much we fed, how many days. It was about $1,000.
So give us your best guess of how much DSRA is going to be able to recoup, either from you or from whatever else.
If you guys will, if you guys are going to sell me the hay for $750, what we paid for, it'll be $3,000.
Okay. Right. So $3,000 to $5,000. All right. So that knocks down that questionable income another $2,000. So it'll be $3,450. Approximately. These all. You know, if everything comes in, that'll be nice. Okay. All right. And we'll work out those figures and how we're going to achieve that on the hay sales. I'm sorry. Now, there are some additional things that you, Chana, you hadn't brought up that were minor expenses.
They were just minor. Oh. Well, we already had them. Okay, so I'm going to get them off.
Okay, now... On the expenses, I also did the same thing, is I divided into two columns. I had the first column being the standard operating expenses, and the second column is discretionary expenses. And as far as the standard operating expenses, we have auto insurance, fuel costs, unleaded and diesel, laundry costs, propane, telephone and trash, and those are the items that I had highlighted or said in the first column that would be our standard operating expenses in that category as far as building the facilities, equipment, in that category. There are other categories. So in building, facilities, and equipment, that's where standard operating expenses. Now in discretionary expenses, I had auto at $5,000, cabin maintenance, cabin supplies, cabin maintenance at $6,500, cabin supplies at $1,500. Now, I also took that cabin maintenance and cabin supplies, and that's $8,000. Now, and we're expecting, hopefully, from reservation fees and cabin rentals, approximately $8,000. What I would like to see is that our cabin usage funds the cabins. And that's how I think we should work this budget, okay?
That's what that $25 reservation fee is about.
So, and that's what I hope if the cabin fees are paying for the cabin usage, that's I think a better way to expense those, okay?
Yep, that's okay.
Also in discretionary expenses, I have headquarters area at $1,500, porta potty rental at $500, store supplies at $1,000, tools at $500, tractor and grader repairs at $1,000, which I also think that should be linked to income category number 11, which is tractor equipment rental. So that tractor and grader repairs would also be self-funded.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Okay. And miscellaneous category of $1,000. So in the building, facilities, and equipment, standard expenses at $17,800 and discretionary expenses at
$18,500. Question?
Yes. I don't know.
Well, you already spent $3,000
Okay, but we can budget and then just rearrange because of the budget. No, that's fine. We still have $5,000 as discretionary spending. We still have that.
It's already been spent, so I just wondered which category you have.
It would be in the auto, and it was a discretionary expense, which is,
Okay, so that means $2,000. And then the $500 is not a reasonable amount for the port, but it's going to be at least
$700. Wow.
Unless you build them, aren't you?
Okay, that's it.
I do the books, so.
I know.
Okay. I'll be quiet.
You can stand over and watch more of my show.
Don't have to be. My job. You
don't have one either?
Okay. Now, that's why I'm looking at why I'm verbalizing everything.
You though.
Under general administration, our standard operating expenses are for administration, which is $8,000. Merchant fees, $500. Internet, $600. Legal taxes, fees, etc., $1,000. Liability, property insurance, $5,100. Management fee at $33,000. Payroll services at $240. And printing and postage at $1,000. Website at $800. Office supplies at $690. And so for the general administration, the standard operating expenses at
$50,930.
On discretionary spending in that category, I have annual board meeting at $500, security at $500, summer health, miscellaneous health at $1,000. For $2,000 on the discretionary spending on in that category. Now for livestock, wildlife, and agriculture, I have nothing in our standard operating expense. It's all considered discretionary spending. And fencing materials with $1,000. Fish, I had brought down to $1,000. Petting zoo fees, $600. So in that category, I had expensed it at $2,600. Okay. On roads, the standard operating expenses were for contract services, which was $2,500. That's basically the road grading. And the BLM fee, which is approximately $500 per year for our 10-year agreement fund to be held in escrow. And that's all I have as far as on roads, as far as standard operating procedures, and that would, or expenses, that would be at $3,000. For discretionary expenditures, I have roads for other I mean, cattle guards, covert price, and so forth at $1,000 for discretionary expense and that kind of thing. Now, water resources, system maintenance and storage tanks was I have listed as a standard expense. So
we're going to spend $5,000 in tanks every year?
We're fourthing
what we need to spend this year.
Because this is what we're,
We know we're going to have to spend that money this year. Okay.
$1,000 for system maintenance and storage tanks, that's $5,000. That's just what I have right now. And unfortunately, somebody got back from Vance, it's quite a bit higher than that as far as people that want to do it. So, discretionary expenses was erosion control at $2,500 and water resources for catchments and diversions at $15,000. So discretionary spending of $17,500.
Could you give me that figure again, the catchments one?
$15,000. That's water resources.
And where did that come from?
Where did that come from?
When we discussed our previous budgets, it wasn't on it. That's the one that I sent you an email about.
Right.
And I got the response back, but I just was hoping that we'd get a chance to talk about it.
And when we get into the feet and stuff, we will get into that. Okay? Miscellaneous, I don't have anything for taxes. We have standard operating expenses for state taxes at $200 and property taxes $5,000. So $5,200 on that category. So our total operating expenses, if you add all the categories that I mentioned, is $82,930. And balance is not correct, right? I guess. So $82,930 for standard operating expenses, and on discretionary spending, it came out to $41,600. So if you add the standard operating expenses plus the discretionary spending that I have outlined here, it gives us a total of $124,530.
Okay. And
total income of $130,860, that gives us a balance of approximately $6,330. Okay. Now, there are some expenses, minor expenses on there that Shauna has sent to me that would take off a few dollars.
A little bit, but it's not a lot. But
it's like there was a difference on some of the insurance costs.
The property tax, then the papers are set, so there are things you can't change. So those are...
Those were minor, and so I didn't bring those, but they're very minor.
I've got them here if you want.
So
what is the cost of our liability insurance?
It is
$5,100.
$5,000.
Yeah.
It's actually $5,346.
There you go. That's a good $5,348.
We'll need to have that in.
It's there. We just have to bump it a little bit. So.
Is that, have you received a so do we know that?
We're
ready to go down through and talk about these, or what's our process? Now we're open. I run through it briefly.
I would suggest we go down through and I think look at this as in what things could we, I mean, we still have things that should be in this budget that aren't. That we'd like to do, and so of the things that are here that's kind of still the bare bones, just an operate another year, what things could we do without or cut and we not miss it? I'd rather, some of them, I would like to see us try to cut it, and if we have to add it back in, great.
I before we do that, let's look at, okay, this is off the 130,860,
right?
Okay. Now we have the questionable income, which we're going to try to do the best we can as far as seeing those come in, and that's a potential $34,000.
Right.
Now with those monies coming in, we can do additional.
Right. I agree. But we need to go down through if somebody has theirs first, but
can I get the exact first? Because those are set in stone. The other ones we can move.
Yeah.
That was the only thing I wanted to
know. Well,
we have actuals for...
Okay, but I disagree. Even the actuals, for example, our liability insurance, are we doing horse rides this year? Okay, I priced this insurance, you know, and set the policy up with the people I think it's still with. 80% of this was for riding and horse rides. If we're not doing horse rides, we should be able to drastically reduce this. And we still have our autos separate from our fire insurance on the buildings. And if we put those together, we should get discounts.
I'm not sure if the horse rides were...
I don't know if they're on here.
They know we aren't doing horse rides.
We were at the time.
Because the liability was all always.
Yeah, it was always.
Always was carrying
his own insurance.
In theory, right?
Well, our liability insurance is $5,055. That's...
And we've got $5,100 in here, which should cover it. Mm-hmm.
So why don't you check on it?
Well, on our autos, I talked to the insurance agent on the autos and said, hey, we'll reprice it. But I think that, let's just discuss insurance a little bit. We don't have anything. I mean, if our cabin's burned down, we would need to have money to rebuild it. And
no, that's covered in our property liability.
I know, but right, those are in the, I'm talking
that's
to the insurance.
Okay. Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't... Insurance is running away nationwide. And so my philosophy on our autos and everything, does anybody even know what the deductibles are? I mean, bottom line, as an associate in this big, any organization, you look at any other organization, and they are hugely self-funded on insurance. You try to be careful. If you have a repair, you pay for it. I know that right now we're on the brink of getting upgraded on our insurance costs, because we keep making claims on fiddly stupid stuff. I mean, if we break the windshield in the truck, we need to pull $300 out and shop around town and get the windshield replaced, not filing a claim on our insurance.
Right.
Ridiculous. If one of our vehicles is in an accident and hurts somebody, we've got to take care of that.
Major.
But these other little things that we keep making, we've had like 3 claims in the last 2 years, supposedly. I don't know what, we had one claim on the cow that we hit.
We really should have done that.
That's the only one I know of.
And what was the repair on it?
Well, the cow, we didn't do the hood. We paid for the hood.
Yeah, we paid for the hood.
The cow, they paid for the cow, which was $500.
And see if we have a $500 deductible or $1,000.
We had claims on that auto insurance, on the cow.
We had a claim, right, and they didn't pay it. And that's the valid.
They did pay it.
The insurance company.
Yeah, we paid $500 for the cow. Okay. So
see that?
Now instead of us negotiating some of them, whoever's cow got killed or fighting the battle, that look, your cow is in the road, it gets hit. I mean, of the last 20 cows in Kane County that got hit, we're probably the only one that paid anything for it. And now we're going to spend $5,000 over the next 10 years paying higher insurance rates because we filed that claim.
Exactly.
We've got to watch our insurance.
It came up. I talked to several people about it. I asked, what is the going rate? How does this work? I did quite a bit of background work on that, and it came up that, yeah, we should pay for the cow. It wasn't something that shouldn't be...
So we should have just paid it out of our budget.
What I'm proposing for budget reasons, I'm not trying to
criticize what you're saying.
But I think that we should change the deductible on our insurance, on our vehicles, to maybe like, you know, $1,250, you know, they're $500,000, $1,250. You know, we should raise them a little bit. You know, again, if you look at
it, we should get a quote.
Right,
to see if we raise it, how much it's really
right.
Safe.
Well, there's a sweet spot in there where I guarantee if it's $500, we're paying way too much in premiums, but if we raise it to $5,000, we won't save that much. So to find that best bang for our buck on that and the liability insurance, I think that we could bring these down, but then we need to be really careful as far as making claims.
Well, the other reason we made the claim was because of the deductible, so that if we had it and we needed that, the deductible was already used up. Type of thing. Anyway, so that the claim was there to accomplish that. I totally agree that the insurance needs to have an overhaul, that somebody needs to look at it. If you want me to do that, let me
know. I'm happy to work with you. Right now, the liability insurance is with
liability is with Summit.
It's still with Summit.
Yeah.
And auto is with Farmers.
Yeah.
We probably
why don't you put them under the liability until this lawsuit is resolved, right? We can change that.
Probably. Right.
So.
But I think as soon as we can, well, we should have time for that.
Right.
Yeah, we need to, that's an issue, is we need to get a resolution on the,
okay,
the court problem first.
So then, ultimately, to do an overhaul on all the insurance on the ranch, which I agree, it's a good thing to do. Who will do that?
You and I.
Okay.
The other thing is, we're paying, you know, I checked that, we're paying $600-$700 a year on a van that nobody's driven for over a year.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, that's where I'm paying in that.
We're on this insurance insuring what? Three vehicles or two?
And Dr.
The gray Ford.
Well, we talked about this a long time ago, and I said, I'm only driving the ranch truck. That's it.
Red.
Okay, but it is a red what?
Dodge.
98 GMC.
Was it GMC?
Flatbed, yeah.
Oh, the white was the Dodge.
Okay, red GMC.
We need to get rid of those other vehicles.
And then we've got the gray Ford. The Vexjet truck. Okay.
Which my son wants to purchase if it's for sale.
Well,
Ken Lynn says he'll buy back the van.
We talked about selling the van and using the money to fix up the Ford.
Well, the Ford just needs a battery and a tire. I mean, it's a decent truck, but since we got the Rhino, I don't drive the trucks unless I'm going to town. And usually when I go to town, it's on Wednesday and that whole.
And you think Ken wants the van?
Uh-huh.
Oh, he told, when he was here, he told us he did.
He was a little upset that we weren't using it.
And so he said he'll buy it back.
He sold it to us for a dollar.
So, I mean, and I'm not sure he'll even buy it back, more than a dollar. Right. But just getting it off the books insurance-wise, will be more beneficial.
You know when our insurance renews?
It hasn't yet. I don't know the date.
In June, I believe.
I don't know the date.
I'm pretty sure it's in June.
Okay, well, those are some things that...
You want to do this before we renew?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I would not renew until we've...
Or do we have insurance on the rhinos? Should we? From a liability perspective?
Probably.
Yeah.
It's on the insurance.
I think it's the insurance.
I had to get it registered. Remember?
You go up from company to blanket coverage over the auto and the property, you're going to get a lot bigger cut. Plus it will cover all those vehicles.
Right.
You know, you don't have to have one thing specifically. So any of that was owned by the association.
Right. So we can look into that. I mean, we can't change it until we have this lawsuit settled and disrupt Summit. But maybe to have Summit do the
modification.
Well,
they're really Farmers anyway. The auto's are with Farmers.
Farmers.
Well, we know, but we're saying, yeah.
I'm saying cancel Farmers and give it to Summit.
Yeah. That would be our deduction.
When the thing with the horse came up, Summit wanted to drop us. We had a serious discussion on that, so.
Now, do we plan on doing horse rides in the future?
I think
not as an association.
No, but we might do something where we can bring in a contractor that
has good insurance policy.
Stuff. He comes in and then comes out. I think we talked about that.
Yeah. And we still have infrastructure to get
back to basics.
Yeah, it's something that we'd like to get back into in the future. It's an outside vendor that has his own horses and tack and insurance and responsible.
But that's not applying to our budget this year.
Right.
So we don't need to get to the budget.
Okay, that was one thing that I had. So we'll work on that. I think the lead these figures, but I think we could come in under these figures. I don't think we need to raise them up.
Yeah.
Okay. Coming down, I don't know if anybody else, the next thing I had questioned was the merchant fees, $500. That, I assume, is collecting credit cards for
the service. Yeah, that's what the credit card company charges us. That's why.
Well, one... What credit cards are we accepting?
Everything but Discovery.
American Express.
I'm not positive on American Express.
Well, American Express, if you do your basic MasterCard Visa, you'll be 1% or whatever. You'll be three times that much for American Express. So it's pretty easy. You know, a lot of places you'll say we don't accept it for that reason. We don't do enough. The second thing, is this for cabin reservations or for dues?
It comes in for all kinds of things.
I just think that you know, I'm mailing back. I don't, if people pay by credit card, I think that they've got, they should pay an additional fee or something.
And we have in the past, and that was my question this year. I had that question at our, you know, the last meeting or the meeting before that we've got.
I think it's reasonable to do credit cards for cabin reservations, but but for dues,
we need
we
to charge 3.5
some more for that. I think that's reasonable.
Right.
Because the amounts are quite a bit different, plus the reservation is online.
I would just, you know, figure that, you know, a $10 fee or something. I mean,
it's $15 if we do it on a credit card for assessment. And if somebody is coming in to rent for, say, a week and it's not a member and we've got a $250 bill on that, then that was my question. Do you want me to charge extra for using a credit card?
No, I think that for, I mean, they're paying for it and it's assumed that they're paying their credit card fee. Yeah. I think it's for members.
Members assessments.
Members assessments
only.
Either need to send in a check or pay an additional.
Okay.
There's a cash price and there's a credit card price. I think. I mean, I hate to be that picky, but at the same time,
it's expensive.
We got $500 for other areas.
Yeah, it makes sense for the numbers involved. I mean, and the way the system works. So, you know, if we just say if the cash price is this and the credit price is that, that's reasonable.
And we're not forcing them to use credit. They can send a check in or whatever.
That's right.
Well, and I think it's
3.5.
It's 434. 434. 434. I think, yeah. I'm paid. I think it's 434 or 450. What is that, $16?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
Is that how you want me to put that on the? Because that'll have to go on the invoice when we send them out.
Okay. Yeah,
that
gives them a choice.
It does.
Yeah, that way they got a choice. They can do it.
It goes down on the bill and just says either send me a check for $434 or so next round. If are we going to send out a second round of invoices? So that was paid.
Making a motion to that.
I'm making a motion that we charge $450 if you pay by credit card.
At this point, there will be also a financial charge on those that are going out this month. As well.
Exactly. How are we doing that? Because we said we're not going to charge interest until we set a budget.
We need to set a budget.
We need to set a budget.
Yeah, it's got to be set.
Okay, I make my motion that we charge $450 for those that pay by credit card, and in that motion, hopefully today we set a budget, we send out notice immediately, and we give them until we have to give them some time to say, you know, those that haven't paid, Here's the invoice. The budget has been set. You will be charged interest
from
this day forward. It usually would be through the end of February, March 1st. Now we're, you know, if we get it out this week by April 1st, do we give them 2 weeks? Sell it for 15?
Yeah, tax day.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, because I don't know how have we been doing, because it's been
18% is what it's been. And it doesn't start getting charged, but it's proactive in the first of the year until March, yes.
It is retroactive back to January.
It is.
No, because we
I know,
not this year, but
not this year, normal
year, you have until January 1st until March 1st to pay. If you didn't pay, then interest started back January 1st.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Assessments were due January 1st. You have until
grace period.
You have until February 28th to pay without interest. In March, you start getting paid at 18% interest.
I think those that are going to, some that may be waiting, I think, so my motion is that we give them until April 31st to pay 30 days, but if they don't, then it's retroactive interest back to January
1st. 30,
that's not 31st. Oh, 30 days, the last day of April. That is.
Okay, and we have
a second that.
And that's the first and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Take care. Motion carried. Unanimous. Okay, thank you. Let's move right on.
Now we'll take care of the merchant fees.
Okay. Does anyone else ever have any more questions in that category that anyone else have on that?
That would lower them, but we don't know exactly if that'll be. Okay.
No.
Oh, well, that was a statement. Okay.
Well, and some of these are, I'm fine with the, you know, the number that's here for budget purposes. I would like to see us work to come in less than that. And mainly, well, let me go back and ask, because it's here. On telephone, what are we paying for now? We have a landline with South Central.
We do.
That runs us $30 a month or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then our Alltel bill is for
three cell phones.
Three cell phones. Three cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
For you,
and
Paul,
and Nancy.
Have we looked into combining those with South Central?
I have. The service was not as good at the time that I looked into it, since the service has gone chewy with everybody. In fact, for them having two, it works because they go into town and stuff. But originally we got two for them because they wanted to be able to call from the ranch, which we could at that time. You can call from up at the upper part of the ranch and other places, but we
but
can't.
It's not working now.
Can
you get rid of that first?
We can't do that. We can't, like, even up at the upper cabins, you could call.
Well,
okay, I have a suggestion.
In the stairway, in cabin one, you can call.
Why don't we, for that kind of cost, why don't we just get some of those walkie-talkies that go up to 10 miles?
Well, they have them. They have them.
We've got a complete communication.
Yeah, they've got that out here.
We've already bought those.
Oh.
So technically, we can drop one of those lines. They have their, you have your own, don't you? Your own phone?
No.
Oh, I thought you did.
Okay, we're in a contract right now, so...
Yeah, you're in a contract, so there's not much you can do.
Well, finding out...
Well, I'll be honest, they went to town the other day, and my phone broke again, and does not work. So she's in town with the phone, and I'm out here working in the cabin. I needed some extra paint. I couldn't call her.
Don't you have some of those old phones that still...
They don't work.
They don't work.
I mean, once they shut them off and they put the other phone on, the new phone on.
How are we doing on our minutes then?
We pay about $150.
Well, this last phone bill, I mean, we're...
The last one was more because there was a claim on the phone. There was a problem that broke.
There was an insurance claim on the phone.
So are we paying the insurance for replacement phones?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to pay an additional deductible?
Right. The phones that we got when we showed up, those are $300 phones. And instead of getting a new phone, I figured, because we've had problems with it, getting insurance on the phones, it only costs us $50 to get a new phone. The phones are pieces of garbage anyways. But
in this environment, you're going to break them or lose them.
And they make ruggedized phones, too.
Yeah, but most of them, they always have a $50 phone. It's almost just better to buy a new cheap phone. It'll last for 6 months.
Yeah, she got the cheap phone, and they don't make them anymore. Or Alltel does not give them out anymore or sell them anymore.
The one that...
I bought a phone. I bought a phone for $45.
It's
a brand new in the box, never used. It was an old phone. I bought it for $45. We can get those phones. We can buy 4 or 5 of them, put them into storage, activate the ones we have. You know, there's a couple of them. Keep the other ones in storage.
And
when these cheap phones, and my cheap phone lasted 5 years.
Wow.
And that's me throwing it in and out of the truck, taking it in and out of the truck. And so we can get phones cheap.
Well, so on our bill, are we paying the insurance $5 per phone for all three phones?
Or none? I don't know what it is.
Well, okay,
per phone, you can do the insurance.
Right, I know, but I'm not sure that it's even worth it, because if you're paying $5 per phone...
I think he signed it himself. He did the insurance thing, and I think it was just on his phone. But I can check into that.
Okay, the other question was, Lynn, if your cell phone was 644-3007, people call you and they get you, or you're out and they leave you a message, why do we have a landline that you're trying to answer and a cell phone line?
The landline is forwarded to the cell phone.
That's why
a year ago I checked into going totally South Central, maybe a little more than a year ago. That was back when the phones, like I said, you could call in better places. We had analog and all of that out here. And South Central was not good. They gave me a loaner. I brought it out here. We tried it in different places. It didn't work as well as the Alltel at that time.
I think, again, it's time to look into that again, because with this new just digital, straight digital, I think we could do better with South Central.
Same.
I just haven't done it.
Well, there's enough other ranch members that are using phones that can, you know, you're using Altel, I'm sure, and that seems to... But what about
voice over internet?
Doesn't work. V-Bell or Tritus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty limited.
And to answer your question, originally there was an office that had 3007. We're known as 3007. And then the cell phone came into use when Barbara was running it and wasn't in an office, and we didn't have an office, and that's where the cell phone came in, and that's just been permanently forwarded to the cell phone. But now that we can get that number on a cell phone and have it there, I don't see any reason why.
Okay, I think that's good. For an operation this big, we can't afford to pay $250 a month.
I agree.
So I think that we can juggle it so that all three of you still have a phone and full access for quite a bit less than we're paying if we juggle those. So let's look into that.
Okay.
I do three phones at home, costing about $130.
Yeah, well, that thing, I have seven. I have six phones on my plan, and I pay less than that.
Right.
So something's not right.
You guys only got 2 ears.
Who are you with?
Okay, we're done looking at. But let's keep. Are you okay with that figure for now?
I'm okay with 2,000. We were talking that it needed to be, and based on our numbers,
yeah,
we would be over that. But
okay.
Like I said, I'm okay with these numbers. I just want to discuss them now so we don't, a year from now, say, yeah, we still fiddled away a bunch of money because we weren't managing it like we should.
And this will take some time because of contracts and things, too. So.
But we can't adjust things within that contract. So.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, I don't want to be the only one.
South Central is not a contract.
So
you're going to take that and that kind of...
That we have South Central disconnected. Because if we can pick
the landline.
Well, I would say that, except that let's see if South Central can do a better deal than Altel.
I'm not sure they can. I think the Altel is still
on cell coverage.
Even if that coverage is shaky.
We can always switch and go to South Central. Doesn't mean you can't disconnect the phone. We need to disconnect the landline now. So we go to South Central to find a good program.
What we'll have to do is we can do a request to port the number to a cell phone.
Exactly. To your cell phone. And we don't
have
South Central. And that's $165 a month.
Yeah, they can do that. It'll take probably 60 days.
Okay.
What's $165 a month?
Oh, you're saying $30 a month.
Yeah, it's $30 a month for South Central.
$30.
Yeah. Support the number, it takes about 60 days.
So I motion that we disconnect South Central and switch the phone number.
What can be listed in the phone book?
3007.
Under what?
6443007.
Well, that's a landline.
We're going to put it on a cell phone. You'll never know that your cell call a cell phone. That's still what's listed and should still be the published Deer Springs Ranch number. But it'll link to her.
Yeah, they don't own that number.
How do you get that in the phone book? That's a really good question.
Yeah, it's in the phone book.
You put it in the phone book.
6443007 will stay in the phone book.
Keep saying that if you're not signed up with South Central, but that's not where you get your phone book from. A phone book comes in, and the reason they put numbers in it is because
it's not really a contractor.
You can always port the number.
Okay. They'll always put the number over, because the only reason that they're going to sell phone books is because they're getting all the advertisement from us.
The only phone book that would have an area phone book anyway. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to get that number in St. George or Los Angeles.
You would on Dexcom.
But you get that on the website, too.
I know something.
Yeah, but people that are looking in the
yellowbook.com?
Okay, your cell phone does not go in the phone book. If this is a cell phone, how will it still be in the phone book after a year?
But it's still a 644 number that's in the phone book today. They're not going to drop it out. It should stay in there. We can ask them.
I'm not sure on that.
You guys do know that the website was hacked, right?
No. Oh, yeah, because I couldn't get to it yesterday.
Just so you know.
And the webmaster was doing something.
And they're trying to fix it right now.
Okay, yeah, I noticed that.
They corrupted, went in and corrupted some files, some files in there, so.
Okay. But we were backed up? Melinda had us backed up?
You know, I don't know. I don't know all the particulars about it. I was emailing Vance Green about an unrelated item this morning. He just emailed me back and told me that it had been corrupted. So.
I noticed. Okay, I did notice that yesterday.
I didn't know that.
Okay. I just thought maybe that you were working on
it. It happened.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions on... That was building facilities.
I made a motion to another
General administration. Anyone have any questions as far as those categories?
Because I don't know. Internet, that's $50 a month we're paying ExpressWeb for the internet that here or in Canal.
The internet is with Starband?
Starband.
Starband for that.
So this $600 is for Starband.
Yeah, Starband. Yeah.
Yeah, it's 49 something a month.
Okay. So what do you use internet?
My own.
Your own.
I'm a contract worker.
Okay. Very good.
I'm getting it right.
Okay, then the 800 website is going to Melinda.
Melinda, yeah.
To?
She's a webmaster.
To be the webmaster. Yeah.
65 a month.
What is she doing compared to what Vance Green is doing? I mean, Vance is doing most of the posting the website and most of the day-to-day work.
She and Vance work together. Vance does... she does whatever, like, this information that he was just talking about, she keeps it updated. She's the one that changed over to GoDaddy.
She changed over to hosting.
She does quite a bit.
Hosting
and stuff. Beth is voluntary.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Livestock, agriculture, it's all discretionary expenditures.
Where did we go on?
Is the road grading price, is that what we want to keep it at? Or do we want to make it more than that?
Sure, that's low.
Well, what was it?
That seems low to me.
What was it last year? Was it 3,000 something?
Yeah, but we had other contract services. We had John Steed charges for culvert work and stuff. We were way under that for as far as
just the park grade.
Oh yeah,
we're talking this just as layering up where someone running the grader
there. Yeah.
Well, I think that should be more because I think we should be doing some more slowly in pieces, doing sections of the ranch other than the big main roads. We should have a 5-year rotation or something where we do this section and that section.
Well, last year almost every single road.
We've got maintenance and fuel for the tractor. If this is just manpower, just operator time, again, if Paul can do more, we should be able to hit all the main roads at least twice and every road on the ranch at least once in this budget.
Last year we did 4,500.
Yeah, so a lot of that was corporate work.
So should it be 3,000?
I think we can stay good that way.
We still have a discretionary expenditure on roads of $1,000, so the total we have $3,500 within that budget.
I think we're okay.
Yeah.
And how are we doing with culverts? Do we think how many culverts we need to buy this year?
We still have some though.
There's about six that are bad right now.
And we don't have any. Well, six we've got to buy, right?
Right.
On roads?
On roads.
What is the cement culverts that are out here? Are those the members?
I don't know.
No, they're free given to the ranch.
So can we use those? I mean, as far as roads.
I don't know. There's a
good question.
You know, those are male, female kind of lock-in ones, and I don't think there's a set out there that lock, interlocks.
Yeah, well, you can still wrap them with the...
So if we've got six, how much is a culvert?
18-inch poly culvert is $14.45 a linear foot at Chilton.
So 20 feet, they're $300.
Yeah.
So if we got to get six, that's... Yeah, that's more than we got budgeted right now.
But we're not paying that. We have to do that all the time.
We don't even know that.
We don't
even use those polar capsules.
We do.
Next year,
I have to do it incremental.
I strongly think, though, until we use these up, these cement culverts are better. Where they're on long life out, they flow, they do. Some of them have wire hanging on them, need to be cut off so it doesn't snag sagebrush.
Do you think we can use those reasonably?
You can bend them back in and then reform. You can put in that.
And where you need two of them, we can wrap a rubber inner tube or a tire, something to keep dirt from
falling. You can wrap them with the 15-pound felt.
Right.
Sure. And then use some hydraulic cement inside, and you can make a beautiful culvert.
Right. No, I think that we don't buy any more road culverts till we use these up. They're heavy, and so they're hard to get in place, but other than that, they take a little more manpower and stuff to get them set, but then they're good.
They're good for a long time. Those are really...
Yeah,
don't cut that rebar off.
And I do think we'll be in this category.
Okay.
This year.
Sure.
And then we have culverts which we can use. We need to put in place. Let's do it. Okay. Water resources.
Well, I think our big thing is the storage tank. I mean, we've been talking $15,000 on all the budgets that we had.
What I did is I changed the Vance.
Yeah, I saw Vance got some quotes. What were the amounts that he was thinking?
The cheapest one, the local guy that he recommended, was right at $15,000.
Another
one was $40,000 or something.
Yeah. Way out of control. Way out of budget.
Dale has some good ideas about that. Dale, you want to tell us about that?
$50,000 gallon tank and an 80,000 gallon tank, and the company who has been finishing these tanks do it for less than $5,000.
What were they doing exactly, though?
The system that the government drinking water required. So it's an epoxy finish, sandblasting them and putting up.
Yeah, it's all the same. Like,
so that's sandblasting and then sealing.
But for $5,000,
it's $1,500.
And well, heck, if
you got a cheaper price,
and they were doing a much larger tank. $50,000 and $80,000, the material here is way
more. Let's entertain that.
Would Dale
the best schedule
help?
Can you get us a bid on that?
Can you get a bid on that and have somebody take a look at that?
Okay, so you think that we can do it for this $5,000?
I think you can do it for the $5,000.
Well, maybe we're okay to leave that for now and deal with it as an emergency if we can. But, yeah, the one was expensive, but they were coming from Tennessee or something.
Oh, yeah.
Vance has figured
have a vacation with Vance, you know.
Stand with having to.
Yeah, you know, we'll work a couple hours a day and then vacation the rest of the time.
Okay. Also, along with that, I also have, while we're talking water, is that...
now you have that.
So is the $15,000, that's for some other purposes.
Right. Okay.
For catching.
What are we...
That we've already been doing.
Some work.
Yeah,
look at that. Yeah, this stuff has already been...
And I noticed we've got some stuff knocked down.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, and what I did receive from Dale was a letter explaining, you know, some of his expenses and the work that has been done. And I know it was leading up to... initially, we talked about management and contract or lease agreements and so forth. But he was also basically that we never did go forward with that, and that's not no one's fault at that, but it's just that that never came to fruition, materialized, but he is asking that he has spent many hours, many days and weeks out here, and he's not charging for any of his time that he's put into it, but he would like reimbursement for the time that and money that he has spent on some cat work, culverts, and head gates. And the cat work was done by Clark Lamb, and I have an amount here of $14,085. And culverts from Schultzens, How do you say that?
Shelton.
For $792.25 and a head gate from Shelton's at $1,250.
So he is
asking for reimbursement for those. I know that it was not something that was approved or expense approved by the board beforehand, but I think it is a reasonable request. So I just put it out there to the board.
You know, whether we give it to them or not, I think we probably need to put something in there that, you know, unless it's authorized by the association or the board, that in the future, you know, pre-approval's required. Because we can get into a situation where we don't have the money.
Right. And we have run across this before, too, and the smaller amounts. But in case in point is that Dave Turley did roof work on our cabin four, and he expensed us that $1,600. And that was to go to, we have how many?
Cabin two.
Cabin two. I'm sorry, not cabin four.
Cabin two. Minor issue.
Yeah, I always thought that too. So cabin two, and it was like, and he sent us a letter and expensed it out of approximately. I have a letter, $1,600 approximately, but he wanted to fly that to assessments. So that's another thing.
It's happened before.
It's like, yeah, we approved the work, but and then we thought we were going to pay for it, but then he just wants to take it out of dues. So that's also assessments that we're not going to get. You know, for this year, for the next 4 years, basically. So these are things that we, you know, have to account for.
You got to handle it.
And I agree with you that as and
the way that transfers out us because you know, we get it over time,
right? And,
you know,
yeah,
right.
And it's done now, and we've sent it out over time.
Yeah.
Except that the expenses that he had on some of the supplies that we have here. That are not being even used.
Yeah, but that's just an example.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
And also, I agree with Brandon. He brought up, you know, we need to be pay as you go, make sure that we stick within our budget. Mm-hmm. So these are.
I agree.
You know, and like I say, I'm learning a lot about expenses and budget process, and you know, being in the, you know, on the board. So that's.
Well, too, just for encouragement thing, some of the stuff that Scott has done is stuff that we agreed that we wanted to do. This is stuff that really needs to be done here at the ranch.
Well, he talked about proving up our water and these things, and this is what you need to prove your water, and we can show the state engineers as they come out, and, you know, this is what we've done, and this is what we're moving towards. And like I say, I like to spend some time, hopefully today, just looking at these improvements. Driving in, I could see a lot of it already, you know, some of the work done.
And if we save the money off doing that tank repair, why would we want to pay $15,000 being paid $5,000 and have to pay for the stuff that we really need to have done?
Yeah. Well, it all needs to be done.
Well,
I think that part of this, it might not be we all know that we didn't have money to do what Clark Glenn did in October and November.
Yeah.
And so Dale has, you know, paid for that, you know, and some of that's, but the culverts, I think some of those have been ordered in the head gate, but some of those still need to be installed before we get the catchments we've paid $15,000 to do all eroded out. Like I said, that a lot of that's going to come in July and August when we get the heavy rains. You know, it'll trickle through the spring.
As far as this is culvert and head gate expense, Dale talked with me and I knew that was something that we needed, so I had approved.
Right.
So
where's that gate go?
On the red reservoir. Which
hidden reservoir?
No.
The head gate's in the polywater faucet.
Right. You know what? When you first came in, it's on your right hand side. Yeah. But if we don't get those installed immediately, ASAP, they're just not going to settle. They're going to wash it out.
There was a head gate there last year. It was broken or was left open, and it was broken. It didn't work. It didn't function properly. And because it wasn't closed and didn't function properly, that's why we lost all that erosion and all that dirt that went down.
Okay. Yeah, some of those old metal head gates have been in for 20 years.
Because it wasn't maintained.
It's work we needed to be done. I think so. Should we have a motion to say to pay, have that paid? Should we do that? Okay, I'll make a motion that we pay that.
And I'll second it.
All right, I have to
input right now that I do still think that it's fair consideration that anything of that expenditure be submitted to the board and approved.
Before. I agree.
There's a motion today. I asked the question about the $15,000. See, we spent a lot of time on the budget previously,
right.
And that wasn't there.
Right.
So there, I want to know where that came from.
That 15, that... Okay. When I reworked the budget, okay, and before I sent it out to you guys, I looked at, there was $15,000 that we had put away for the water tank. Okay, that was, and so $10,000 of that went from the water tank to... we still have expenses on erosion control and so forth.
And so yeah, I think we have $5,000 in for erosion control, didn't we? Because we had spent so much last year.
That pan
with the problems that we had last year.
That pan shaved off of the water tank and with the erosion control.
I don't remember. I have to look at the budget from last year, but I know we put quite a bit in last year.
Well, last year we put quite a bit because
we had some pretty serious problems last year.
Well, we had Nolan Button do $6,000 worth of work.
Yeah.
Just right out here. And we'll see what he did out here. Plus something over there, too.
I agree. I think in the future we need to make sure that these types of services have to be done to be submitted to the board ahead of time.
We just need a simple process of...
Right.
Just like going to the water tank or anything. Identify a project... Get at least one written bid, if not multiple. Make approval from the board
before the expense.
Right before the expense.
I agree.
Yeah. And that would be with the understanding of the board that the work is necessary, not necessary in the future, but necessary at this time.
Yeah.
On this budget.
I think it is.
So did I answer your question, Dave, as far as what money came?
Fundamentally, you're not talking about the whole $15,000. Are we to expect, then, that there are going to be receipts received until that $15,000 disappears?
We've already got the receipts, don't we?
No, I don't have clear receipts on this.
So you have...
I mean, I have this
right now.
Have
how much?
$14,086 for the work at Clark Lamb. $14,085. The tab work that Clark Lamb did. And,
it's out of line.
I'm sorry?
It is out of line. That is such a huge percentage of our budget that it would have to get approval by the board even before the work is authorized. And I know we're sitting here with the ability to authorize the writing of the check, but this mystery of the $15,000 appearing in there and now being billed.
No, it's not a hit. I mean, I'm telling you where the $15,000 came from. It was a preliminary budget, and I reworked the budget and sent it out to you guys.
And a new category, though. Water and catchments was not in the previous budget. And I think that it needs to be in the budget, mm-hmm. and work needed to be considered by the board.
There's something similar.
Erosion control,
like $5,000.
Are we talking about erosion control? That catchment, for instance, in the clay area.
Water storage.
How many times? And drain.
Well, it's under water. It's under the broader category of water.
You're right.
Okay.
Water resources.
Water resources.
Did Deer Springs Ranch Member Association pay for that to be developed one time before, and it had water in it for 2 years, and then it went dry? Because it was improperly done, do we have consideration of any kind of warranty or payment after a period of time instead of just payment for work that has taken place? Maybe, can you give us some input on that, Dale?
I believe that's false information.
What's false information?
What reservoir are you talking about?
Is it the clay reservoir at the bottom of the pinks? Is that the one we're talking about? Yeah.
No, the work from Clark Lamb.
The red reservoir hasn't been hardly touched in 30 years.
Which reservoir are we talking about?
Well, the polywalk pond you drive in, most of the work was out here. This right outside the ranch yard gate is a pond that's 20, 30 feet deep, but it wasn't erosion, that was 50 feet deep. And then the rebuilding of the Half Moon reservoir just next to the gravel pit.
They did some work for hidden reservoir.
And
John, if I may, a little history on that. By the way, Clark Lamb built most all the roads and the reservoirs and dams on the ranch initially. when we did work that was done, I really thought his bill was going to be closer to $30,000. I had, he charged us less than half of what Alan Steed or Button has charged. I just couldn't tell you how pleased I was when I got Clark Lane's bill for $14,000. So that was to redo the polywog pond out here that's been so ugly for 20 years.
And it was washing out the road.
The big 7-foot pond above it that'll last us for years. The spillways, and we'll put a head gate in there for control coming down into the polywog pond. Evan Collister redid the Half Moon Reservoir 20 years ago, and it's been an ugly mess ever since, unusable. That's in use now. You'll see the head gate today and the arrangement up there. That would monitor the water, hopefully, to help irrigate these fields down here sometime in the future. The big diversion that Thales had up above there has been washed out for years. That's all rebuilt. And then there's a hidden reservoir that I never even knew was there for the first 10 years. A great, nice reservoir, but it will not hold water. We found there's about 6 foot of clay in the bottom of it. Clark Land took the clay and pushed it on the side hills, and we thought, gee, this will perhaps solve the leakage problem of the gravel there, and check the head gate, different things. You should all go into it today, and I think we may get in 2 or 3 Suburbans and go around and look at some of these things.
I think we should.
Is it reservoir is it not holding water now?
It is not holding water. It got up to about 10 feet deep.
Deep belt.
And then it drained down about 5 feet, and then we let the rest of the water out to try and fill some of the other areas down below. So there's still a problem. The ditch into it has been repaired.
However, and this is one thing that Brent and some of them will be, that catchment allowing the holding water instead of it running off even if it goes in the ground is what is feeding Lee Spring. And so the more of that we can stop and let soak into the ground, it is still it's gonna there's several springs up through the wash here and stuff that have dried up over the years because we haven't been holding water in those catchments, even if it slowly or fairly quickly drains out. It's still a huge benefit to our water resource.
The ground system, you bet it is. And then went on up to Clarkland, cleared all the willows on the upper half of the wet meadow. There's probably 20 acres more of feed and stuff up there. We'll continue burning the willows and cleaning that area up. There's a lot of that has been worthless for years,
yeah,
out by the big trees. And then he went into the Red Reservoir and raised the dike across there, I don't know, 3 or 4 feet, and repaired the hole that he had repaired 4 or 5 years ago, and Alan Steed had repaired it, and now we're repairing it for the third time. Can't tell you, it's strange why that hole has reoccurred after knowing how they gutted it all out and packed it back in, and then the hole appeared again. But anyway, the Red Reservoir, it is still not finished by a long ways. The head gate is still buried 10 feet down under the bottom of the lake. So there's many things that need to be done on that Red Reservoir.
Yeah, but we're not going to be able to address it.
Right. But at this time,
this year,
10% or less of his time was in the Red Reservoir that Dave was...
Now, I think David's concerned is like, okay, well, how does this figure all of a sudden match what we have into this account? And Dave, I can tell you, when I emailed you, when I emailed you before, I said that, you know, I know that Dale's going to submit some receipts. At that time when I emailed you, I had no idea what the costs were. Okay, and I had already set that figure at $15,000 because I thought that's what we could put towards that.
Had there never been intent of receipts being submitted and the board had considered that budget, it's very likely that we would have approved that category. And it's very likely that the members of the board would have expected to approve any work that was done associated with those fees.
And I agree with Dave. But the whole thing was, I don't think it actually came to that, because I think initially while we were accepting the proposal, those were things that we agreed upon of Johnson doing the receiving. And I don't believe that their intent was for Dell to do that, other than he wanted to help get this water situation situated. But since he hasn't had the ability, or we haven't let him do the things he wanted to do, like switch things over to his management, that he had already begun with. And so, in all fairness, because we haven't really switched it over, it's kind of a moral obligation that we at least pay for the stuff that he's already done to benefit us.
A moral obligation?
Well, because it benefits us.
I have to rely on the integrity of the board members to use morals in their decision, but it is not a moral obligation to pay those fees unless the board had agreed for the work to be done.
Really, that's the board has agreed that during the last 4 or 5 months to the work, knowing what was going on and how. I think the board has agreed. I certainly agree also, John, that any future things will be cleared with the board or they won't be done. Well, I agree with Dave on that.
I agree with Dave that the timing and stuff we've struggled for 3-4 months meetings and going through different proposals and lease agreements or whatever, and I'm not happy with the way that, you know, some of those things either have turned out or didn't turn out or whatever, but at the same time, I came up when Clark was finishing it and stuff, I want to see this headgate, but at the same time, the work that's been done is no less valuable. We're still getting 50 cents on the dollar.
Right.
We have desperately needed, and so at this point, and I think that, you know, because I just seen a copy of this letter where they'll enumerate, you know, several thousand dollars of expense in addition to his time that he's not asking to be reimbursed, and, you know, outside of that. So
I think if just we just wrap into that motion that we pay it to just say, look, any further projects done by anybody, not Dale or anybody else, has to be explicitly approved by the board first, going forward.
Unless it's an emergency repair.
That has to be done.
No, if it is, it needs to be approved by the on-site management and the president and poll the board or whatever.
Yeah.
We should be able to catch on the internet.
But I do think we should pay it. It's something that we needed to be done.
But Dave's point is
right about that. We should.
Is there a warranty on the work? Is there? I mean.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. What do we want to talk about that? I don't know.
Well, I think that again, when you're paying dozer time, you're getting what you pay for.
It is what it is.
I think the only area that's still, there's no way for anybody to warrant that a reservoir that hasn't been cleared out for 40 years is going to hold water, or the Pink Reservoir. You know, the first time that Clark Lamb rebuilt it, you paid for it out of your pocket. The association didn't even pay for it.
I paid every penny.
I'm not sure if when Alan Steed didn't rebuild it, but it's a problem. We've got it sooner or later.
We're going to sink some more money into Red Reservoir, I think, yeah.
The biggest consideration I've got right now is when we were first brought onto this board and we released our previous branch manager, there was meetings and discussions talking about the erosion control that was necessary. And now that I know that that's the area where you say the work took place,
some of it,
that shouldn't have been difficult to present to the board and to try and convince us that it was necessary. Because I don't know to this moment that it was necessary. I really don't. But then I didn't just fall off the turnip truck. I thought we were covered as far as the erosion control out there by the work that was previously contracted.
Does it look today like it did then?
Well, that's not his point he's trying to make. He's trying to, was there an inherent danger? Was there an inherent need, to do that stuff?
The inherent need
there are.
Need
water. Yeah, I think all Dave is saying is that those expenditures should have been explicitly approved by the board. That's what they have
maybe, you know.
Now,
and I really have a feeling,
and I agree with Dave on that.
Previous proposals, I have a feeling that if it was presented in that fashion, each of us as board members would have walked over there and had that kind of a description given to us. We may have passed it as a board, but we did not. It was not submitted until it became a bill.
I don't know.
And it still hasn't been submitted. It's just a word of mouth that
it's been a request.
And as all the work in that bill, that's all been completed, right?
Or I would like to see it as a member of the board. Exactly. I mean, precise details of everything that's being built, and I'd like an opportunity to study it before I would vote against or for paying that bill. And along with it, any declaration of warranty on the work that's been performed. Purpose and warranty, description of why it was performed, I think we would understand, but...
Can we table this until we go look at it?
I'm not going to have a chance. I have to be back. I was prepared to meet all weekend last weekend, but this time my time is very short. I have to get back to Cedar. So
I
trust the board
discussion until next board meeting.
I don't think it'll change anything we need to look at. I think we've got to be more diligent in making sure stuff doesn't happen, and I think that it's appropriate to revise your amendment that we pay these off of the submitted bill so that we have a copy so that we know what was done and stuff directly from Clark and the Culverts and stuff, so it's, you know, so that Linda has a copy and note for that accountability. I think that, you know, he has that and can provide that.
And Dave has a legitimate concern, but I still feel that we need to pay that.
Well, we can go ahead and vote.
I was just saying that we pay it, but with the understanding that no other services by anybody, doesn't matter who it is, will be paid in any way going forward without explicit documentation submittal and vote to the board by the board. Going forward at any time.
That's not to discourage any submissions, but just to...
They have to be submitted and voted on ahead of
time. No, we want submissions, but it's just got to be decided before.
Can you word that in a few less words?
So we're binding ourselves in that manner. So
you're making a motion.
Motion to pay the bill as it stands
with the receipts.
But with the understanding that no further work by anybody, member or not, doesn't matter who it is, will be paid without full submittal review and
okay.
Isn't that fire?
Motion, any second?
You ought to read what Dave said.
I second.
Okay.
Read what Dave said before you vote on it. Read what he's written before
motion
you vote on it.
Motion to pay Dale's bill with receipts, providing that happen again. I didn't get the wording. It's on a recording, and
yeah,
somebody
yeah.
can send me the
yeah.
list.
Right.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed?
Aye.
All opposed?
What is the total amount? What is the total amount?
$15,000.
No, just under $15,000. Okay, motion is carried. Four yay.
4-2.
2 nay.
With one not in attendance.
Not in attendance. Okay. And the last of the budget is obviously the taxes.
Can't change that. That was the one that I was going to say, the one we cannot change.
The tax and income, no matter what.
And we had your state taxes at $249.44.
$249.44?
Yep. And your property taxes are $53.48.
That little minor. Yeah.
Right. And the personal properties was $119.81. We don't have it on there.
Yeah, that personal property, 1981,
and I think that's pretty well fair.
can we take a 10-minute bio break?
Because we got hyperways.
And I got to check on my family, what they're doing.
Can we do that? 10 minutes.
Can we take a 10-minute bio break?
10-minute bio break. We're going back into session after a 10-minute break. Well, so? So, still on the budget. Now, is there any further input on this budget and how I have, you know, set this thing up? Any further questions?
I think the only point is now for Shauna to work with Linda and get what's approved in QuickBooks, and that in the future we only print like she handed out, and we start calling, you know, using the same category in the same ways, and if we don't like them, let's instruct Linda to change it so that we're all running off one sheet of paper, not four different, you know, forms. So I think it's a good budget, you know, but we'll work through that once we get this approved.
Okay. Is that a motion?
No.
That we approve it with both changes?
Sure. It's John's budget. I don't want to... He can...
Well, okay. Well, I'll just go ahead and make the motion that we approve the budget with the amendments and changes that we have made today. Make that motion. Any second?
I will second it.
Motion seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, unanimous. Yeah, with one absence. Okay. All right, now we have a budget. We can move forward. We have been moving forward, but we can do this.
One quick, Linda, will you tell me this one minute? What is the portafolio per month?
$700, is that what we figured?
It's $700 for the season.
Yeah.
For the season.
And what is that? How much per month? So we can say how many?
80?
We were going to cut from two porta potties down to one.
Right.
We need to cut the month.
80 bucks. And what was part of the expense, too, is last year for a couple of months, I realized they were coming up to service debt, and I told them, don't come in anymore, please, right. Stop coming. So it's $120 to deliver it, $120 to take it back.
And
I believe it's 80 a month.
That's for two.
No, it just that's 120.
Delivery is 120. Well, we can pick up. You can pick up a porta potty and take it out
right.
Yourself.
Yeah, we don't
pick
have
it up
and drop it off.
I would suggest we pick it up. I would suggest we let them come and get it when it's full.
Right.
That's mad.
We make the delivery of it. They come.
Yeah.
I don't see it's not an issue.
It's not. We can throw it. We can put it in the trash trailer. When it's empty, it's just got a little bit of blue chemical in it.
Yeah.
We could bring it up and have them. But I think we could cut it and stay in the budget.
I don't mind taking it back either. It's not a big issue.
That's why we approved it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're good. We'll make it work.
Yeah, and I think ultimately next year
we need to be looking at maybe
building
our own.
Our next budget, this fall, we need to look at, but
early
we should get away from
saying.
Buy one of our own.
Okay. Okay, good. That was the big hurdle. Next thing as far as on past due assessments, my recommendation is that anything that's past due 12 months, we're gonna put a lien sale on.
So we have a policy.
Notify.
There's something in the
It was 2 years in the bylaws. It was 2 years.
Yeah, no, it's not. No, it's not. It's 12 months. 12 months.
Or you can put a lien on the
bucket. Or we can take action. 12 months.
And you want to change that, John?
No, I don't want to.
I want to follow
our policy, our procedures, and then I want to notify people. And once they're notified, my guess is that they'll make payment.
Okay, so
you know,
only
if they don't, we'll close on and you're paying or so you know so when you were paying. I mean, those who are paying are paying good money,
right.
and the others who are not, obviously they lose their rights of members, the use of membership rights.
So we're going to send out an invoice billing for 09. what you're saying is those that have not paid 08, we go ahead and...
Well, we should send them a letter.
I think before what we were saying is...
Yes, give them a letter.
You send out an invoice for 09.
We follow the procedures, whatever our procedures.
Well, I'm just trying to clarify. I think that the procedure before, unless it's changed, we would send out an invoice for 09. Those for 08, we would send out a letter from us, you know, saying you're delinquent, you're going to, you know, but anybody below, before that, any of these that are 06 and 07, that we put a lien against the property so that it cannot be sold and turn them over to a collection or have an attorney.
We send an invoice, we send a letter, we send an intent to lien, and then we lien.
Okay.
So that's pretty much,
of these,
how many of these we have
leaned?
Here's another thing, too. Can you, you know, the threat of some of this stuff is also increased if they can sell it to a collection agency, which can do it to their credit.
And so doing that, people are more concerned about having their credit hurt than just a bill.
The only problem is that is anytime, I would rather work with an attorney that will send a letter for $50 a piece. We turn to a collection, any of those are, they keep half.
Oh, yeah.
And so if somebody...
Is there a way to do that without, to hit the
really.
Credit
I mean,
agencies without going to them?
Get Linda really in a bad mood. I think we need to...
That's a powerful hammer.
Right. Even if we need to be a little more patient, if somebody owes $1,000, I'd rather be a little more patient. We get $1,000 and turn it over to collection and hammer one of our own members, and we still only get $500 anyway.
Hey, the letter, the threat, the intent to put a lien,
I think the critical thing is those that now are going one more year delinquent, that don't have a lien on, that we get a lien on their property so it doesn't get sold, and we have new members saying, oh, I want to be a good upstanding member, but I don't want to pay what was before, and I didn't know it was delinquent. It's got to be recorded against their lot.
Yeah.
In our
bylaws, Section 8, annual dues, paragraph 2, in order to collect dues, the board will have the power to add interest and late fees to pass through assessment. The board will also have authority to place a lien and foreclose the same on lots when assessments are past due for more than 12 miles.
Okay, okay.
And that's what we should do.
Okay, so you buy lots, so let's do it.
So you know that process, Linda.
Yeah, I mean,
so you did next month, show us what you sent out and give us an accounting of who already had liens on before and who's been sent new threats to lien, and if they haven't paid within, you know, 60 days from now or whatever, then we actually lien.
Now, we can also set, we established the late fees and the interest. Do we need to, I mean...
It has been set at 18%.
18%.
That's the interest. Now, we can, do we want to set late fees even more?
That's heavy duty. That's really heavy duty.
18% of the
interest. I know. Some credit cards are 30.
Right. Well, we don't want to do that.
I want them to pay their dues on time. Because we have to run an organization here. We have to budget. We have to get things done. There's roads, there's caverns, there's water. Okay? Everything costs money. It's an expense. Okay,
there are other organizations that go to the monthly.
But it's okay.
Right, we do a yearly, and that's money that we could be collecting over time.
For 2-3 years now.
I'm not saying we should do that, but we've already given people an entire year to pay, and then they pay in, say, September the next year.
Well, I think that if we did something that, because we debated back and forth.
Yeah, that's all right.
Well, before we were charging interest plus cost of collection. So if we ever got to, and maybe we even do it with Linda's.
We should.
If we had to pay an attorney, at one time we had an attorney send out letters to everybody, and he charged $50, we tacked in $50 also, and that accumulated. So I think to have a notice fee that, look, outside of us sending you an invoice, when we're trying to send a demand letter, there may be a $25 or a $50 per letter fee that is tacked onto the account also.
Is that good?
How
much? He has credit?
Yeah, he has credit.
Oh, yeah.
So, this is the total here.
Okay.
Is that what you want me to write the check for?
This hasn't been paid, built yet. That hasn't been paid yet.
Okay, so I should just do that much then?
Yeah.
And then
well,
later?
Hang on. Yeah, that's going to be, yeah, that'll be later.
by name.
Thank you.
John, one suggestion on that one. You're telling the members what the rules and regulations are and what the bylaws are. I would also suggest that you follow the bylaws that says they have to notify the board if they're going to sell.
Right, yes, they should.
That should be in your newsletter. That would flag the board that Joe Blow is going to sell, and you know that dues are against it or that there's some other problem. It says heads up to the board that it's in the bylaws. Right. Been there. My suggestion was a month ago that you give it to me. I don't need it. I don't care about it. I think the board should inform the membership, along with these other rules, that there is a first right of refusal.
Right.
And
a newsletter will, that's right. And they need to be familiar with that because according to the bylaws, the time doesn't start, the 30 days doesn't start until the board has been notified.
I have a quick question to you, Ben. Ben, real estate-wise, when a piece of property here comes up for sale and they do a title search, would the...
Then the lien would show. Yeah.
Not a lien. What about the just lien?
No, it doesn't. Until we record a lien, then it really doesn't show.
Except the title company calls me on everything.
The real estate community knows, the title company knows, but usually a lot of times then we'll tell them, hey, call Linda and see if it's clear, you don't want to buy a lot, and then find out that you're obligated for it, and it's a lien against the property. I mean, the property is the collateral. So whoever owns it, the seller or the buyer, we're going to take the lot. It's not paid eventually. And so we try to warn them, and everybody's a lot better about it.
Okay.
So in essence, we're saying everybody on this list who owes more than $434 is going to start getting the delinquent letter.
No. And I'll say that is we have also talked about last month, there are lots that do not pay dues because they are not part of the association. Those lots, once again, still need to be identified, and we shouldn't continue. I feel that we should continue. And let me just take lot 157. I think she may be one of those. And and I don't think we should continue to add on assessments if they're not owning. And just thinking that when it trades ownership, that we'll get that money from whoever's going to buy the property. I mean, it could go 10, 20, 30 years from now. There'd be some insurmountable bill.
That's why you do the lien and then force a sale.
But she doesn't.
They were not part of the association.
Oh, they're never part of the association.
Now,
I have a question on that. If somebody's never part of the association yet, they're benefiting from us, they're not part of the association.
They can part of the votes, whatever. The thing is, just case in point, say, you bought a piece of property.
Then that's not an issue.
You bought a piece of property, and all of a sudden, someone developer builds around you some condo association. Now, you have to pay into that? No. But prior to the association.
Yeah, well, I
think the only thing is
if they're never part of the association, then they shouldn't be considered a lot either. Right? It should be taken off our record.
You need to take them off our record and just so that we don't keep showing, this person owes thousands and thousands.
Yeah, why would we even, they shouldn't even be on the list or even on the map. I mean,
Somebody decided that, and the previous board didn't realize the situation.
If they're not part of the association, let's take them off entirely.
Yeah, right. We need to resolve that. We've got
different directions, and we'll know they don't know it, or know they do, we can force them to say it. Somehow, we need to make decisions. Get something legally recorded. Get them to sign something or record.
Well, that's the thing. When you buy the property, if they had it before the bylaws were put in, then we've got no tie to them.
Right.
So it's as if they're not even on the map. You know what I mean?
If they wanted to sell the property, whoever buys it wants to be part of the association.
They would have to request to us. Yeah.
And we'd have to tell them how wonderful it is to
maybe.
I don't know.
Make sure they don't come to us.
John, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Are you bound to those bylaws?
Okay. Yes. From one of those lots that aren't paying dues that aren't part of the association, if it gets sold and somebody that buys it wants to become a member of the association, what happens?
Well, I don't know. Well, I would say there would be an impact fee.
Wait. We can't increase something that isn't there, but we might be able to do like they've done before and take one of
just
those.
Like if you were joining an association in a house, you know.
Yeah, we're strictly only for 300 lots.
Right, we can't go over that 300 share. That's what we're about.
Okay.
Here's our option. There's 305 lots on the plat. Okay? That still does not include, the only other ones that are a little bit critical is the 60 acre, I think it's 40 or 60 acres at the top of Podunk. Okay, so there's 305 lots, there's 300 memberships, so that gives us a 5 that's off right there. And then there's the 60 acres in the top corner. That's only critical because we still maintain that these are private roads that we pay for, and we want to be able to lock the gate. And we're always going to be in a problem. The people that own that property come up and the gate's locked, they're going to have problems. Right, so I think it's a case by case. One scenario is there's some people who own two lots, they only have one membership. If they would agree, and they may, to say, let's go and record your two lots together, and so they can never be separated. Now you have, instead of 220-acre, you have one 40-acre parcel and one membership so that they are paid, but then they can never sell and separate. They may voluntarily do that, and then that would solve
it. The only drawback I see to that, Ben, is because right now we can only build one home for 20 acres.
Two for 20.
By the county laws.
It's two for 20, and that's really by the county.
Okay, right. So but if you have 40 acres, are they going to allow you to build four if you combine them?
Because I think it's an acreage thing, parcel thing.
I'm not sure, but either that or to go, if people were willing to take one, and again, we're not going to be able to deem them for history, you know, for the last 30 years, but if in an annual meeting, and we've talked about revising our bylaws and CC&Rs that need, you know, in that we all agree that we will diminish my 1/300th ownership in the ranch by a decimal point, and we create 300, you know, 5 more memberships, then would they be willing to pay going forward? Because they're getting the benefit anyway.
Well, the association owns some too, so maybe we should just incorporate those and take them. I don't know. That's really not
right.
Well, that's
another thing
to talk about.
Or turn those lots into
association
common land.
Right. And then you
and take our memberships and decide to
get
them. You know, I mean, that's a way to do it, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, let's just move forward. Linda, do you have clear direction on what we're asking you to do?
More.
Well, we need to find out what's been done. Because we have people who
have that down
this year. That we never had, you know, of the 5 lots that don't have membership, some of them have been sold, and they are now paying membership. Where did they get that membership? Was it created out of thin air?
There's only one person alive that can answer those questions.
Okay, we can spend some time
inside the truth.
Okay, so tell me, I'll go talk with Dale, and what do I find out?
I think we need
I have down that you want me to send out a letter on these, which I planned on beginning on these that are
delinquent over 12
delinquent
months
for this year period, and then for those that are over 12 months, send out a letter with delinquent with intent to lien.
Before you send it, then we'll get together with Dale.
So far, no one.
Send out the notice that they will be delinquent as of the end of April.
We've got interest financial charges for this year, and that
there shouldn't be any.
Not until the end of April.
Okay.
Because of the budget. Right.
I
got it clear?
Yeah, you do.
And before I send out an intent to lien, I will find out if there is already a lien. I don't need to talk anymore. Yes.
Okay. Next order of business was...
Did you guys want the dates for the cows right now?
No.
Just after the meeting. Okay. I'll email them to you.
Okay.
No, thank you.
Okay.
other business.
On to new business? Did we have to vote on the budget, right?
We did that.
We did that. We voted on the budget.
We